Okay. I think that after Easter, I mean, maybe it just this kind of naturally leads me into this, but every time I read, every time I've been praying, every time I've been kind of thinking about as services come, even Azusa, thinking about that. What do I want to see? What do I want to happen? What do I want to... Because I think it would be really sad if we just had an event. Like, I mean, events are fun. I like events. And our life is a series of events. But I think it'd be sad if we just had an event. And then we talked about how many people came and how wonderful it was. And that was it. There's stuff on that video. I want... Probably like a lot of us already want and are praying into, we want momentum and we want revival and we want shift and change and we want we want freedom. I want freedom. I keep coming back to this freedom, this word freedom, and I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about... That's going to lead into some other stuff. We'll see where we go. But freedom is the good news. Freedom is the good news. There's a lot of ways that we talk about the good news. And we talked about the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about the cross and forgiveness and redemption. But it's all for freedom. It is for freedom that we were set free. It's all for freedom. It's all to be free from the consequence of sin and free to have a relationship with God. It's all a move towards freedom. Galatians 5:1 is, it is for freedom. And we're going to look a little bit more into that verse, because looking at what that looks like. But I've said this before, one of probably the most asked questions that I hear is, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know God's will for my life? How do I know, in a bunch of other ways people ask, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I hear the voice of God so I can know what to do and know where to go? And everything from what job to work or who to marry or, you know, there's a million things. How do I know God's will for my life? And I know it simplifies it a ton, but freedom is God's will for our life. And freedom is more than just the absence of chains or slavery, but it's becoming it's becoming and returning to who God created us to be. And in that, the more we figure out and the more we discover and the more He reveals to us who He created us to be, the more freedom we walk in and the easier access to what does God have planned for my life. All of a sudden things just begin to make sense. I believe it. In freedom, and the freedom that He set us free for and to walk in, choices and walking out God's will, God's plan for our lives becomes a lot simpler. And I kind of have the... it depends on how you think, but maybe good, maybe bad habit of simplifying things. I like things simple. I think that a lot of life tries to complicate itself, and so the simpler we can be, the less anxious and frustrating our lives can be. And so oftentimes I do that same kind of thing, and simple doesn't mean easy. Oftentimes it's We think that they maybe sound the same, but they're really not the same. Oftentimes we know exactly what we're supposed to do, and it's very simple, but it's really hard. It's difficult to do. And so simple and easy, I don't want you to get those two confused, because I think that we can live a life that's... we have to make difficult decisions, but that are also very simple. I use the challenge of quitting smoking. You know, there's a reason why it takes lots of tries oftentimes, and it's a challenge. I've never had to quit smoking, but I've heard that it's very challenging. I don't know that there's very many things that are simpler. You just don't smoke. It's not complicated, but it is difficult. Does that make sense? So we don't want to get those two things confused. When I say something simple, it doesn't mean that it's easy. I think that it is for freedom that we've been set free. The good news is freedom. Freedom doesn't mean that it's easy. It's like, oh yeah, just free. Love is one of those things as well. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your... We know those verses, we heard those. Yeah, it sounds really simple, but we know that it is quite challenging to walk that out every day and in every situation. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the message. We don't change the message to fit the challenges. We walk through the challenges and walk in the message and this freedom that we're going for. And I remember a while back, I was talking about freedom, and I talk about freedom a lot, but I was talking about freedom, and I was talking about our freedom. The challenge of freedom in the church is that oftentimes it's from religion that we need freedom. And so sometimes it can be confusing, especially for pastors, because oftentimes it's the things that we are trying to teach that become something other than what they're meant to. It was meant in the heart of things. I think in Scripture too, is that oftentimes we see Jesus sharing messages that have become, down the years and through readings and teachings, have actually become enslaving messages that he meant to set free. And we're going to read a little bit, kind of a section of that. But I can remember a while back I was talking about our freedom to choose whether or not to come to church. And I remember somebody, it was just an impassing message, kind of like it is right now. But I remember someone coming up to me and said, hey, that's pretty brave for you to tell people they don't have to come to church. And I said, man, if people don't know that it's their choice to come to church, I am failing as a pastor. You know, because I guess I was pretty blessed early on to realize as a pastor that it's never been my job to tell people what to think, but to walk with people as they learn how to think. I mean, I don't know what to think most of the time. Who am I to start telling people what to think? You know, I can tell you sometimes what I think on a good day and explain it with rational words every once in a while. I meant rational words every once in a while, not. You know, we can do that on a good day. We can define what we think and what we think. But really, sometimes that shifts and changes, and we all of a sudden what we read in Scripture and meant something in one context, all of a sudden now that means something totally different. Doesn't mean we were wrong, but and the idea is that we learn in freedom, that freedom is not just learning what to think, because you can know the way that free people think. It's all through Scripture. This is what free people do. This is what freedom, we know that forgiveness and this is what all the things that are supposed to happen, the fruit of the Spirit, we could list out. And we could say, this is what freedom looks like. And we can know them all, and we can know what to think, and still be struggling with how to actually make that work. How many of you guys know that you can stand in a place, maybe you've been there, and think, I'm supposed to have peace. I know that I'm supposed to have peace. I'm supposed to be thinking and holding peace. I know that's what's supposed to be happening, but what is actually happening and my ability to walk in it is a different thing. It's simple and yet challenging. Does that make sense? And so that's kind of where we are, and I realized pretty early on that I want to surround myself with free people, and that the more people you set free, the more people that you partner with in their freedom, the more people that are free gather around and show up, and when you have free people, you have people doing things that you don't want them to do, and that's just part of what happens. I wish everybody would come to church every Sunday, and yet I'm fully aware of all of our freedom not to, and I wish everybody would be nice to each other and kind and gentle and walk in peace every day. I mean, we want all those things. We know that that's the life that Christ died for. And yet, you know, we're challenged by it and in our pursuit of it. Are you still with me? Are you guys okay? Yeah. Choices. How many guys remember the first story, and well, maybe the second story in the Bible? That when God created the garden, He put two trees there. We've talked about this before, but there was two trees there, and one tree they were not supposed to eat. That God actually, well, I don't know how much time it takes God. Maybe He just thinks it up and it happens, so maybe it doesn't take a lot of time. But He did take initiative to create an option and then told them not to take it. That actually happened. It really did happen. And the idea of removing choices to help people make the right choices isn't biblical. I know we want to do that, but it's just not the way God does things. And so the idea of that, I'm going to keep going. Yeah, so there's a... Let's try this one. So there's a choice in the garden that... It didn't just happen. It wasn't a random choice. God actually created a choice and then told them not to take it. Because there can be no freedom without choice. You can't choose the right path unless the wrong path is available. You're just walking. Unless the wrong path is there for you to choose, you can't choose the right one. That really is freedom. And without freedom, there's no real love. Without choice, there's no real love. We can't choose. See, the amazing thing, it would have been easier, and we're talking about easy again, it would have been easier if God would just be the only option. Now, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the only option for eternal life, but not for the life we walk in now. He gives us the choice because He has to give us the choice in order for us to choose Him. He has to give us an alternative, or many alternatives. There has to be the ability to not choose Him in order for us to choose Him. Are you still with me? You guys okay? Very quiet this morning. Freedom really does mean you get to choose. So, the freedom that Christ died for to bring us back to earth, I mean to bring the freedom to us, is the ability to choose how you will respond to the world. I like the phrase that free people make godly decisions in ungodly situations. See, not being free means I don't feel like I have a choice. Even if it's there, I don't know it's there. I'm a victim. I'm just a product of situation and circumstances. I'm on and on and on. I mean, it happened from the very beginning. What happens when you know, they're Adam and Eve are caught taking the wrong path, eating from the wrong tree, making the wrong choice. Instantly, they try to look for a way to not have it be their fault and not have it be their choice. The snake, the serpent talked me into it. The woman talked me into it. In fact, God, You put the woman here. I don't know what You were thinking. If You never put her here, then I would probably have been fine. And we see it. We see it throughout, all the way up to now. It's the first thing that when you make a bad choice, And it's not that there wasn't things pushing you in that direction, or that, you know, no, officer, I had to hit him with my car because he was flipping me off. Whatever. You know, I had to do this. I was forced to yell and scream, or I was forced to lose my temper, or I was forced to take that thing, or... And we don't use the word force because we know we're not really forced. It's not popular, but it's in part of our process of us not taking full responsibility and managing our freedom and trying to find someone else to help share the weight and the responsibility of freedom. See, people think that, you know, freedom is this, which it is. It's grand. But living free is actually one of the most challenging things to do. I believe it's why you are one of the greatest stories of freedom, you know, in history is the God delivering the Israelites. And when they had freedom, what was one of the first things they wanted to do? Go back. This is crazy. We'd rather be slaves than not know what to do. We don't know what to do. No one's telling us what to do. No one's... God's abandoned. This doesn't work. We'd rather go back into slavery where at least we know what to do every day. We know, even though we have no freedom, life made sense back there. See, in freedom, you have to unpack and you have to make sense. And then all the weight of your decisions now rests on your shoulders. It can be a tough place to live. But in that freedom and in that understanding is when the value of Jesus and His gift of forgiveness makes the most sense. See, when you have a mindset of slavery and or a victim mentality where nothing's your fault or your problem, you don't find that you need a Savior. But when you're free and all the choices that you've made and all the things you've walked through are because of their choices that you've made, you take the food, all of a sudden there's a weight to carry that you need a Savior from. You can see that I did all these things and I was created to choose and to walk in freedom and now all of a sudden I can see how much I need a Savior. How much I need forgiveness for my choices, for my decisions. And that's when we actually walk into the true freedom, which is actually redemption and returning to what we were created to be. Yeah, godly decisions and ungodly situations. Real freedom is not, you can't tell me what to do. Oftentimes this starts there. Depending on when your kids go from dependence into independence, every child does that in there. They start to discover how bad they want to be free and how bad they want to be independent. And yet their brain is not developed usually enough to make the decisions that will keep them safe and protected. I think it's why they are still going through that when they're under our safety and protection. So the challenge of being a parent and letting them discover their identity as an independent person, which you really want them to be, unless you have a room for them in the basement for the rest of their lives. You want them to become that, but you don't want them for it to happen all at once. You want them to kind of learn it. To learn how to manage freedom, to learn how to manage independence. But, you know, for whatever reason, their willpower and their brain, God didn't have them lined. I think it's to test the parents and to make them persevere. But they didn't have them lined up, and so these kids are trying to get out of the house, but we're learning this process and watching it in our own kids as they are discovering their freedom. They're discovering their power. They're discovering, and they get to choose. Now, they've always had to choose, but they, you know, in the past when they're little, they just want to choose whatever makes you happy. They just, well, for the most part, like if they have had enough sleep and enough to eat and all that. They want to choose, or they just choose for themselves. They choose whatever is most, that they want the most. But as we become adults, we start realizing that My choices have consequences. It's not just about I get to do whatever I want. It's actually now that I'm responsible. See, when someone's been telling you what to do and you've been managed for so long and you first discover freedom, then you're really excited to get to do whatever you want. Yes, I get to do whatever I want. We see it a lot when kids first leave the house, if they were in a fairly restrictive, controlling environment, and now I'm in college. I'm away from, nobody tells me when to go to bed. Nobody tells me what I should eat. Nobody tells me anything. And some people, they get right into a groove, I'm sure like all of you guys, and just perfectly manage their freedom and don't do anything they shouldn't do or that's not healthy for them. But some people I've heard of, they don't figure out how to manage that freedom very well, and they start doing things just because they can do whatever they want. But as we learn, as we grow up, we realize that's actually not freedom. It's just trading one controlling for more control. That freedom is actually the ability to make good choices for yourself. There's a reason why self-control is in the list of gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That self-control is actually one of those things. If we didn't need it, it wouldn't be there. And that's how I believe. So let's go back to Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Reading on in verse 2, it says, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith and righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcised nor uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Now, even though it says, talks about circumcision, this verse isn't about circumcision. What this verse is about is law. Now, that circumcision was the mark of law or not law. So when he's talking about it, he's not talking about that. He's talking about law. He's talking about you get to choose which covenant you serve under, which agreement you're going to follow God. If you choose the law, then you got to choose the whole law. You got to take the whole thing. You don't just get to pick and choose, which is kind of what was happening. They were picking and choosing and figuring out like, hey, we kind of like these ones. So these are the ones we're going to kind of create a denomination, and we're going to, it wasn't called a denomination, but we're going to create a church, we're going to grab the followers that agree with us and like this, 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 and this, and we're all going to agree on those things, and then that's going to be our church and our group. As Paul's saying is, listen, you're missing it. It's for freedom. Remember how he started this letter? It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Even though it's easier to live checking the boxes of all the things you've done to make yourself feel better, it was actually for freedom that Christ set you free. You're going to have to learn how to manage your freedom. Because even though this is easier over here and checking the boxes, as long as you don't include all of them, right? Because the law was actually revealed to show us that we couldn't do it. So what they did was just kind of delete the parts that were really hard, and then we just get the ones we like, and then it'd be all right. But he's saying, no, the whole law. You get the whole law, or you get freedom. That's the only line. That's the choice. That's the trees. You get law, you get freedom. There's not other options. These are the trails, and you get to pick. But you can't walk in freedom and serve under the law. You can't say this law, and this law, which he's talking about circumcision, this is what makes us free. Doesn't work that way. Now, I've taught on the Ten Commandments before, and I've had many conversations with many pastors on the Ten Commandments, and there's reasons why I don't talk about the Ten Commandments all the time. I believe that we're supposed to follow the Ten Commandments. I'm not throwing the Ten Commandments out. However, that there's a gray area when we start to draw lines and say that, no, I won't say that, but that we have the danger of drawing lines and saying this is what Christians look like, or this is what freedom looks like. And we need to be really careful that we don't attach behavior to freedom. Because I believe that's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, listen, you guys are thinking that if you get circumcised, then you get freedom. But that's not the way that it works. Actually, circumcision is the path to serving under the law. So if you're going to do that, you get the law. Freedom is in Christ. Period. And actually, in Christ, those things don't matter. So I'll say this, in the context of this message, please don't just write this one down and put it on Facebook. In Christ, as it pertains to freedom, the law doesn't matter. In Christ, as it pertains to freedom, the Ten Commandments don't matter. Now, that's in context. Please don't Facebook that quote. The fact is that righteousness, freedom, come through Christ only. Your behavior should change if you're following Christ. This is not a permission to do whatever you want. Okay, remember, now we're going right back to our... This isn't the going away to college in Christian sense. Cameron said we could do whatever we want. I could stay up all night and eat Cheetos. Yes, you can do that, actually. You have that freedom. Cameron just removed the Ten Commandments. He said, they're not important, they don't even matter. So I get to kill whoever I want and have adultery and I get to do it. No. Yes, you can do that. And actually, the blood of Christ still covers it. That's freedom. I know it's scary to lots of pastors and lots of churches and religious folk. Doesn't make it not true. It actually still is true. Now, I would not advise that. Or staying up all night and eating Cheetos. Cheetos and beer, that's all I'm eating from now on. As Cameron said, I'm free. Are you following me all the way through this connection? That it is for freedom to set us free, and freedom is not conditional. It's not freedom as long as you manage it really well. It's not, well, Jesus works for you as long as you don't sin too much. If you sin too much, then you got to go back to the law. Because you're not managing your freedom well, so we're just going to push you over back into, we're going to teach on the Ten Commandments, and we're going to teach on the rules, and we're going to talk about... No, listen, it is for freedom that we've been set free. Now, there's plenty in a covenant of freedom, in a new covenant, in the covenant of blood of Jesus that talks about behavior. In fact, I've spent my life preaching on it. There's tons of it. But it never trumps the grace and love of Jesus. It just doesn't. And it would be easier. It would be easier if there was a light over your head. That when you did something wrong, the light was red. And we all knew it. And you just had to come to church and we pray for you. And then the light goes green again and you're okay. That would just be the easiest and the wonderful way to live. Oh, it looked like I thought a wrong thought. I ought to go to church and hang out for a little bit. Now, we know that's not true, but yet on some levels, we kind of live that way. We do. We live that way. We live this idea that our freedom through Christ is conditional on our behavior. And it's not. So, if it's not, how do we know how to behave? It's all summed up in this really great line, conveniently placed at the end of this scripture that we're reading. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I was recently reading on Facebook. I don't know if it was a pastor or somebody. I was going to do air quotes when I said the word Christian. but I won't. It was a Christian person, I'm sure. And you'll understand when I say this. And they were talking about being tired of hearing pastors just talk about love all the time, and we need to talk about. And it just made me sad, because it comes from a place of misunderstanding love. And I think sometimes we get love and nice confused. I know it sounds hard to believe, but I think it's true. I think sometimes we think love is synonymous with nice or calm, or I don't know what other, friendly, which love can be all those things, but love is also honest and truthful and direct and confrontational. Yes, it is. It is. I love my kids so much that I will confront their poor behavior so they can change. So when I say love, and that it's all about, it is actually all about love. There's nothing that I've been able to find, no message that I've been able to preach, that doesn't include and motivated by love being the fuel of that. You know how, like, when you hear a message and you're like, God, it's so good, that makes sense, but it's really going to be challenging. There's no message that I know that I've preached, or that the fuel to go through the challenge isn't love. Whether it's a confrontation, sometimes we hear love and we think, oh, love means I'm supposed to be a doormat and just never say anything and just peace, which is not the right definition of peace either. And I think that we have this poor version of love. And so when we talk about, and I was reading this post on Facebook about, I'm trying to picture it, but basically it was really sad, because it was somebody that was passionate about seeing people changed, but they were trying to do it through the law and trying to navigate people to freedom through the law. But it never, that road doesn't go there. It doesn't, that road doesn't, it's like, it doesn't lead there. Jesus is the only path to freedom. There's not a behavior that leads to freedom. You make yourself feel better for a little bit. And there's a lot of good intention steering people away from love and freedom to behavior. And behavior is important. We talk about behavior all the time. So behavior is important, and there should be a change in your behavior if you call Jesus your Savior and you believe that He died on the cross innocent to bring you freedom. That should alter your behavior forever. And continually every day alter your behavior as you mature and it's more and more revealed to you how amazing that is. It should alter your... But it's not the altering of the behavior that leads you to a relationship with God or that sets you free. It's the freedom that alters your behavior. And it's very important that we get them in the right order, because the world's getting them backwards. And the world thinks we have them backwards. The world thinks that we think that they should behave so they can come to church. That's what they think we think. I hope we don't think that. Some people, I'm sure nobody in this room, but some, yeah. It's them out there. We portray that sometimes. It's an honest mistake, but it's why I'm preaching this message. For myself too. We have to stay focused on Jesus. We have to stay focused on this conveniently located verse. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And I'll ask this question, and then I'll kind of let you go on. How is your faith expressing itself? There's a whole bunch of Christians that we get to probably experience more than ever before on the planet because of the internet. You can talk to Christians from all over the world today after church if you want. And you can hear pastors from all over the world, what they're preaching, what they're talking about. It's blanketed on the internet. It's all kinds of backgrounds and sermons and all kinds of stuff. Which, by the way, thanks for coming here and hearing me. Because you have so many options. But the fact is that we have all these options, and this the message that is being communicated is not necessarily at the forefront of that message is not necessarily love. It might be even the word love. Sometimes it is the word love. But my question is, how are you expressing your faith? Because there's this a lot of faith out there. There's a lot of people that say, I'm a person of faith, or I believe in Jesus, or how is your faith being expressed? And if you were to not just ask yourself, but if you can't figure it out, ask your non-Christian friends. Ask your neighbors. How do they think you're expressing your faith? Because it's got to start here. We have to be the only thing that matters in this freedom and this walking through and this pursuit of is that faith in our life is expressing itself through love. And I'll ask you, at the end of every day, can you answer the question, hey, I expressed my faith through love today. I did whatever. My faith expressed it. My freedom expressed itself through love. My faith in Jesus changed the way, altered the way that I behave. Not I did it to get freedom, not I did it to get faith, but that my faith actually expressed itself through love. Because of what I believed, this is how I acted. Not I acted this way because of what I believe. Maybe, are you still with me? You okay? I'll read in Matthew 15, we'll read this and then we'll go. Sorry, one more. Because Jesus actually said a very similar thing. 15:16. It says, don't you understand yet? Jesus asked them. Don't you see? Everything that enters the mouth goes into the stomach. Then it goes out of the body. That's a little anatomy 101 lesson from Jesus. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. Those are the things that make you unclean. Evil thoughts come out of the heart. So do murder, adultery, other sexual sins. And so do stealing, false witness, and telling lies about others. So here you're seeing, Ten Commandments are entering right here. They're in there. They're in the teaching. Those are the things that make you unclean. But eating without washing your hands does not make you unclean. What's he doing? So the first verse we were talking about, circumcision. And Paul was talking about that. Jesus is talking about cleanliness, which is another really, important part of the law. Is a whole list. If you read, there's a list of things that make you unclean, and then there's a couple ways to get clean again. I mean, it can be washing your hands on whatever day, not washing, touching certain things, like all kinds of stuff that can just make you unclean. And so when Jesus came, he shifted that. And the idea that he's saying is, listen, it's not the action. It's the inside. It's a heart condition. It's your faith. It's what's in here. It's the way it expresses itself. And he points back to, look, this kind of behavior comes from inside. It's your faith expressing itself. Or it's you, if you have no faith, it's you expressing, it's your heart expressing itself. For us as believers, it's our faith expressing itself through love. So am I expressing my faith through love? To Jesus, to others, in worship, in serving, in my finances, to my spouse, to my kids, to my church, at my job. I've expressed my faith through love today. I think that, I was praying about this morning, I think that if Azusa could change something in our nation, in our state, of course, but in on the planet, it would be to awaken this idea that as a believer, the most important thing is to express our faith through love. Because if you get a whole bunch of people that when they commit to having a relationship with God, the next thing for everyone is how are you expressing that decision through loving the people around you. There's no, okay, now you're a Christian, so you can't drink, and you can't smoke, and you can't yell, and you can't say words, and certain ones, and you... No, but listen, when you step into that, I have a relationship with God. Oh, okay, how are you? Have you expressed that faith through love today? How are you doing that? Can you tell me about that testimony? Like, tell me how it's going. And we start keeping each other accountable. Like, and did you... You know, you have a faith, so you must be expressing it through love, right? It must be happening. So how's it going? How's that going? How's it happening? And give me some ideas, because I'm running out of ideas. I need some more ideas. And all of a sudden, everyone that says and carries the identity of someone with faith is doing their best to pursue expressing it in love. That love doesn't become a footnote that people begin to kind of like, well, yeah, they say they love, and when they, you know, work at the soup kitchen once a week, and they do this and they do that, but they, you know, they still hit their spouse, and they still scream and yell at their kids, and they still, you know, get in altercations at wherever and at work. And that, you know, you don't understand what I'm saying. The people that are carrying Christ have to change. I mean us, and I'm including myself. We have to change. And we have to stop eating Cheetos and drinking beer. Please don't put that on Facebook either. Hey, things like that. This, yeah, I know our staff will oftentimes throughout the week, when things will slip out of my mouth, will pretend to pull their phone out. No, well, that's going on Facebook. This Cameron said no Cheetos and beer. Yeah, we're going to take communion together. Sorry, thank you for reminding me. We got some folks? Cool. But yeah, we have to... I think the key, like I was saying, I think the key is managing our freedom. And I know that when we're first exposed to freedom, it's just like getting out of the house. Just like, I think religion is so controlling. And I was raised going to a pretty conservative church. And I can remember when I first discovered that actually wasn't the structure that God designed for the church completely. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that was really good. It's a great church. But all the things I connected with church and connected through that idea with God were actually not God. They were religion. And that actually I realized, wow, that's not God at all. So who's God? And I began this discovery of my freedom and walking with God. And But at first, when you're introduced to freedom, just like a kid getting out, it's like Cheetos and beer. You get, you know, staying up all night, and I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. But that's not freedom. We know it. And so real freedom, I believe, in Christ, real freedom, is not having to work. At first, maybe it's work to express your faith through love. But real freedom, when we're walking in it, you'll know it because it's just part of who you are. It's part of your identity to express your faith through love. It's natural and it's normal and it's part of who you are. And that's what we're going for. And we get to go for it. We get to walk in it. We get to walk in freedom. Because of what we celebrated last week and what we're going to celebrate right now. The freedom comes through the cross. That's the noon train. Yeah, so take a minute. We're going to take very long. And why don't you just kind of just close your eyes and kind of take a minute. We'll maybe leave them open if you haven't have your stuff yet. But just take a minute, and we're just going to we're just going to prepare our hearts to embrace freedom. To see it and to experience it. I kind of have this picture of Jesus showing up to the world to bring freedom. And I got this picture of it being like this box that's wrapped like a Christmas present box. And he's like carrying it. It's probably, that's big. Big enough to hold, but it looks heavy, like he's carrying it. And it's freedom. He brought it to earth. But it's heavy and it's big. And so he's like, does this hand off, where he just hands it and you put your arms out and it's just heavy. Whoa. There's something to manage. It's not a little thing. It's not a little BB, a little pebble that you get to carry around in your pocket that nobody knows you have and that doesn't take much thought. It's a huge box that's weighty and that takes some getting used to and some conditioning to carry and some focus and a change of lifestyle and to compensate for this huge gift that we've been given, to carry the weight of it. Some new muscles and some. And so I want to just take a moment and just kind of receive that gift from him. The weighty responsibility of freedom and managing that freedom, accepting that freedom, choosing that, or even just the revelation that you have choice. And that there is a God choice and there's a not God choice. And communion is the reminder that, God, we choose you. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, again, we just thank you for freedom. We accept the weighty gift of freedom and the responsibility to live out our faith through love. Lord, we accept it and we ask for strength. We ask for courage. We ask for good ideas. That the Holy Spirit would just be there every step of the day, every step of the way. That we'd be conscious of it and aware of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you've made all this possible because you're the way, the truth. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the new covenant. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen.